This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. You are listening to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, my friend Daniel Fernandez will be talking to me about nine bad motorcycling habits here in Malaysia. Then we'll be moving on to our AT&T segment about how you can save fuel with plug-in hybrids. And our car review at the tail end of the show, it is a Volvo XC60 versus the beautiful BMW X3. Beautiful, so I'm told anyway. But first of all, the news with Mr. Arif Ruse. Arif, what have we got this week then?
Been quite interesting, actually. Volvo, who is in their final stages of their fleet refresh, with the Thor's hammer lights and the L-shaped lights and all that, they have two models to go for their refresh, which is the S60 and the V40. And we've just seen new pictures of the S60. And I'm going to show it to you now.
Ooh, let's have a look.
Let me know what you think.
It doesn't look like a Volvo.
Doesn't look like a Volvo.
What the hell's going on? It looks quite sporty, almost BMW-like, if I might say.
I still think it looks pretty good.
Yeah,
but
it does.
So with this car, we're expecting the typical Volvo lineup of engines, two petrols and possibly two plug-in hybrids. But it has a huge problem.
What's that?
Its own sibling, the V60, the wagon.
Right.
And why would you buy a Volvo that doesn't have a big boot? That's, you know.
What are you saying about Volvo drivers?
That they're family oriented.
Very well done. Yeah, all right. Okay, fair enough.
Yep, so the next story is actually, there's more questions that has come up about autonomous cars.
Yeah.
In March, Uber's self-driving car was involved in a fatal accident.
Yeah.
There was a lot of commotion about that. The driver behind the wheel wasn't paying attention, and it showed that autonomous cars aren't ready yet.
Yeah.
And recently, a new report came out that the self-driving car detected the pedestrian, but decided it shouldn't stop.
There was also a case, I don't know if you know about this, in the UK as well, about a guy who was driving up the M1 in his Tesla, decided to get out of the driver's seat, engage the automatic mode,
the autopilot,
and get into the passenger side.
Yeah.
What kind of an idiot does that?
I know, and around about the same time, I think a Tesla driver was killed after ignoring repeated warnings from the car. Just as all of this was about to die down, Waymo, Google's self-driving arm, was involved in a nasty accident.
Yeah.
So there were no fatalities this time, but yet again, questions about autonomous vehicles and its ability to keep humans away from danger keeps coming up.
We're just not there yet.
Yeah, so I think adaptive cruise control and lane keep assist might just be enough for us.
All right, and story number three.
And story number three is Elon Musk did that thing again.
What's he done now?
Last week, Elon Musk and Tesla slipped up. Elon dodged questions about Tesla's finances, dropping Tesla's value by $2 billion. And this comes after Tesla posted a loss of $780 million. And we thought that Elon Musk would be humbled by this experience. But no, so he set Tesla another ambitious production target that caused these problems in the first place. Now they want to make the faceless Model I, we don't know what it looks like, production ready within 24 months of its introduction to the factory floor. They haven't even chosen a factory to produce that yet. And the industry standard is about 30 to 36 months. Volvo, who built a car plant in the US in 2015, still hasn't built their new S60 that we mentioned just now.
Right.
And then they have to deal with the Tesla semi-truck and the Roadster that they've been hyping up for so many times. But I can't help feeling that we've heard this story before. I think Tesla might actually go down under if they don't pull this all together.
They're not going to go down under. I don't see that, no. I see Elon Musk as the Tony Stark of the automotive world. He doesn't care, you know.
No,
one way or another, he will find money to keep this project going. Anyway, that's all the time we have for the news. Arif Ruse, thank you for the news.
Thank you.
Don't go anywhere, folks. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, it is nine bad motorcycle habits with me and my friend, Mr. Daniel Fernandez, here on Cruise Control on BFM 89.9. So I'm here with my friend Daniel Fernandez. We're going to be talking about nine bad motorcycling habits here in Malaysia. Daniel, what have you got to say?
To start with, Richard, I used to ride a bike many years ago. I used to ride a bike. So it's not that I don't like motorcycles.
Mm.
But over the years, I've started noticing this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this problem is escalating. And the new generation of motorcyclists coming into the market on our roads are just irritating the daylight out of me, and I've come up with nine issues.
Say what you feel. Say what you feel.
Yes, I've got 9 issues with motorcyclists today. And, you know, it doesn't mean that all of them are at fault here.
I see where you're going with this.
9 issues.
Come on, then. Hit me up with number one.
So, number one. Riding on the highway fast lane at a low speed.
Yeah. It's a problem.
And they refuse to move.
Yeah.
And a lot of time, you know, it's not the big bikes. It's the, you know, the mopeds, the scooters.
It's the 80cc ones, the 90cc
yes,
ones. Yeah.
But, you know, they're thinking, okay, I'm on the fast lane. I'm doing 90 and that's okay.
Uh-huh.
And they refuse to move. You can flash them. You can honk them. And, you know, we don't want to go too close to them because we don't want to panic them and they lose control and something happens. So that's number one. Number two, riding on the middle lane at slow speed.
There are car drivers who do that too.
Yeah, but we're not talking about car drivers here.
I'll let you have it. Go on then.
Okay. Number three. I really get irritated when you're sitting in a traffic light or a traffic junction. They try and squeeze between cars and then they hit your side view mirror, you know, and just speed off. And they just don't care. They don't even look at the back.
Yeah.
They just hit, and they know they hit because there's a loud thud, you know. And either your glass breaks or your side view mirror flips back. But luckily, a lot of modern cars, you can actually flip it and flip it back. But I drive an old car. So if they hit it, they hit it, they break it.
It's done. Go on then.
Okay, number four. Now, I'm waiting at a traffic light junction, and right in front of me will be a motorcyclist. They don't know how to go to the left. I'm on the right lane. They come right in front of me. They wait there, foot down, maybe having his little handphone stuck into his helmet.
Checking his slippers right.
And the light changes green. Now, I don't want to honk, but the light changes green, and he doesn't move.
Right.
And finally, when I honk, he turns around and gives me a dirty look, like I've done something wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me.
Like you're the bad guy.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. Now, number five, which is actually a law issue here. Riding around in housing neighborhoods, especially in smaller neighborhoods or densely populated neighborhoods without helmet. Now, you want to ride without a helmet, your safety, not my issue. Your insurance company, not my issue. But if I hit you, not purposely, but for some reason, or if you hit me for some reason, because I'm the bigger vehicle, I get into trouble with the police.
Yeah, and you're more likely going to have issues with the ambulance as
exactly,
well.
Exactly. Yeah. So the thing is now, you hit me and I'm in trouble.
Right. It happens a lot nearby here, actually. You know, people coming up from the kampung just down the road,
yes,
up to the video game place here or the internet cafe.
Yes.
You see it all the time.
Yes. And I mentioned this thinking about coming to the show today.
Yeah.
And you're very right. Just as I turned into McDonald's.
Yeah.
One guy came across me.
All the time.
In the wrong direction.
All the time.
On a motorcycle without helmets.
Right, yeah.
Now, this one, number six, this is something which I don't understand. Parents, you're wearing the helmet. Your child at the back, no helmet.
Now, not just that, though. Take that and then imagine you've got another 2 or 3 kids on there and they're piled on.
The whole family.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's okay. So dangerous.
Right. I remember a few years ago when I was doing work with somebody else and we proposed to give out free helmets to children, just like how they did for car seats.
Yeah.
And we did a project in an area very near here. I don't want to mention the area, but there were a lot of kids riding around without helmets. We did this program. We gave away 200 helmets. Now, within the same day, most of those helmets turned up in shops nearby for sale.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I'm thinking to myself, I give you a free helmet. Mm. Of course, it's not a $1,000 helmet, but it's at least ₱100. It's for your child to use.
Yeah.
And you go and sell it.
Mm.
What's the point? We were actually giving it to parents who had children on their bikes with no helmet.
That's just stupid.
Exactly.
Go on.
Okay. Number seven. Now, I'm at a T-junction or at a cross junction. My light is about to change green. The guy opposite, who's supposed to be in red, crosses in front of me, beating the red light. Now, if I'm not paying attention to him coming on the left, I could easily hit him.
For sure.
You know? So, we car drivers have to look out for them, even though we are in the right. And this is something which happens every day in every junction.
I can see your temperature levels rising as you're going.
You can see me changing color.
Yeah, I can, yeah.
I'm changing red. Okay, number eight. Now, this one would probably apply to someone like you who used to ride a big bike.
Yeah.
I like big bikes. And, you know, a lot of big bike riders are my friends. And, you know, they are also drivers and they understand this. But there's a select group who will go on the highway on a convoy for their pow in Tanjung Malim or their nasi kanda in Penang, you know. And they'll be on the highway. They'll get the largest guy in the group to wear a marshal jacket, going in front like a police outrider and demanding that people move to the side. Hello, friend. You are not the police.
These are the Sunday riders, aren't they?
Exactly. Mm. And when they do that, they don't realize that sometimes they're actually causing a trouble for us because we're just cruising along 100, 110. Suddenly this big bike comes alongside us and he's waving his hand. And you know, the first impression is police.
Right.
Because we're not actually looking at the bike or the make or whatever. We just see this big guy with a Marshall jacket on. And then suddenly we realize some Sunday rider, you know, going to have his char siu pao or his, you know, kopitiam or whatever. And he's trying to rule the road.
I mean, I've seen this quite a bit.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's clearly against the law to be doing this, right?
Exactly.
Why is it that that law isn't enforced? There are not enough police out on the roads enforcing it?
Now, can you imagine a convoy of 30 bikers? You need 30 outriders to chase them, right?
Right.
They got better things to do.
True. Give me number nine.
Okay, number nine. Now, this happened to me. That's why I'm going to bring it up. Stolen bike rider hits us.
Mm.
He falls down. He's injured. We stop. We get down. We say, hey, hi, are you okay? Can we take you to the hospital? Oh, no, he staggers up. No, I'm fine. And then we said, you know, give us IC or license, whatever. Yeah. We take a picture of his number plate. We're going to make a police report, anything. And then he rides off. And our car is damaged.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to make a police report. We find out that the bike is stolen or the number plate doesn't exist or the number plate belongs to a truck somewhere in another state. So how do we claim insurance?
Mm. It's happened to you.
It's happened to me. And you know what the police says? Well, you know, we can't do much because this is already a criminal case. It's bike is already stolen. Go and fix your car.
Wow.
So I have to go and fix my car on my cost because some ding-dong who rode a stolen bike hit me.
It's not fair, is it?
It's not very fair.
Speaking of which, then, you've had your 9-9 issues with Malaysian motorcyclists.
Okay.
Please tell me that you have balanced this at some point in the future about how some motorcyclists might feel about Malaysian drivers, man.
I'm glad you brought it up because I already prepared 12 issues about car drivers.
Because otherwise, we're going to be getting a whole bunch of tweets from motorcyclists, you know.
No. I've got 12 issues with car drivers in Malaysia, which I will share sometime soon.
Let us know if you're a driver or a motorcyclist. You've got issues on either side. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, of course, we will be back with AT&T. We're talking about do we need more gears in our gearbox? You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control. My name is Rich Bradbury, of course. Coming up right now with my friend Daniel Fernandez, yet again, it's our AT&T segment, how you guys can save fuel with your very own plug-in hybrid.
Auto technology and tips brought to you by Volvo, made by Sweden.
Okay, Richard, we know so much about plug-in hybrids. People talk about it. People go out and buy it because it's tax-free and it's cheap. You know that, right?
I've heard that, yes.
Okay, so now, why do people go and buy something and not actually take advantage of the fuel saving that they can get from a plug-in hybrid? So I'm thinking maybe I can, you know, impose a bit of my wisdom to this.
Educate me, Daniel.
Yes, to some of these people who are buying plug-in hybrids and not enjoying the fuel savings.
Mm.
By now, we all know that this is the best time to buy a hybrid vehicle or a plug-in hybrid. Because why? Petrol prices are going up, whether you like it or not. Okay?
Yeah.
Unlike traditional hybrid, plug-ins only use their petrol power engine when batteries run out of charge. Now, these vehicles have a range of around 30 to 40 kilometers. Now, we have Volvo, who's got the best range, followed by Mercedes and then BMW. And these are the three brands that are running the plug-in hybrid success story in Malaysia right now.
Okay.
So they have about 30 to 40 kilometers. This is taking an average, okay, to run on pure battery power before their petrol-powered engine in front of their car has to take over. So you understand that. Okay. So depending on a normal commute, some people can drive to and fro work without even using their petrol-powered engine. That means you wake up in the morning, you start your car, it starts on battery, you start driving, you reach your destination. Assuming, like, for example, if you live in PJ and you work in, say, Moncara, that distance, you will not use petrol at all.
Right.
But there's a big but. Now, there's a few things you must do to make sure that you can travel on pure battery power. Number one, you need to make sure that your plug-in hybrid gets a full charge overnight at home.
Okay.
So you need to plug it overnight, get it all charged up, ready. So when you get into the car in the morning, it's 100%. Second, you need to drive unaggressively. You see, in the morning, a lot of people
What does that
aggressive.
Mean, driving unaggressively?
Okay.
Don't most people want to drive aggressively?
That's the thing. A lot of people, when they're driving, maybe they're a bit late, or maybe they're a bit angry, or maybe they didn't have a good night's sleep.
The coffee or...
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, and it seems that everybody's on a high-tension wire here. Mm. So people start accelerating and then decelerating. Now, when you do that, you're actually going to kick in the petrol engine.
I see.
Because the battery engine wants to drive diligently. Okay? So when you come to a traffic light, when the light changes, you don't hammer the throttle. You just lightly depress the throttle and you slowly coast forward, and then the car slowly takes you forward because it's automatic. Mm. You don't need to, you know, shift down, try and chase up to the car, and then, you know, it's traffic jam anyway.
Right, right.
Okay, so when you drive home in the evening, same thing. Now, a lot of people will say, okay, I get to work now, assuming that my range is 30 kilometers and my battery power has depleted to, say, 20%. So how do I get home on battery power? Now, this is the tricky bit. You must have a charging point in the office. If you work in some shopping malls, you know now that some shopping malls have charging facilities.
Wanatama, I believe, has some of those.
Wanatama has, Bangsar Shopping Complex has, Desa Park City now has,
right.
Pavilion has and all that. But not everyone works in a shopping mall. Some people just work in normal places. Now, some buildings are starting to install charging stations. Maybe if you work in a private office, maybe there could be a plug point outside you could use. So that's a variable thing which you
just
have to
a standard everyday plug point.
Yes, will work. But right. with a normal plug point, it'll take a bit longer to charge.
Okay, okay.
With a wall box, which is provided by the manufacturer, which you pay for it, that is fast charge.
Right.
Okay. So now you've done that. Now, it also must be understood that in the morning, if you're driving diligently and unaggressively, you know, the weather is cooler. So you don't have to boost up your aircon to maximum and get the blower maximum, because all that uses power, you know. So keep your aircon low. Once you've charged your plug-in hybrid, and you're driving home, same thing. Be calm, you know? Drive home. Whether you're going to be aggressive or not, it's a difference of 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
But this way, by not being aggressive, you might actually reach home without even activating your petrol engine. So that's a huge saving. So imagine every day you go to work and come back, and you don't use any petrol.
People will love that.
Exactly. So it's almost like an electric car, but without the range anxiety. Because why? You still have your petrol engine in case suddenly midday, you might say, oh, I need to go to Kuala Kubu Baru to pick up a nice chicken rice because I just feel like eating the chicken rice. Mm. So you can still commute and go, not to worry about your charged car or not, because you still got your petrol engine to
right,
work for you.
Right.
So these are little things I think people should start thinking about when they own a plug-in hybrid. I also have this grand idea. If more people drove plug-in hybrids and they all wanted to save fuel in the morning and the evening, you know, to and fro work, we'll have less aggression on the road.
People will be happier.
People will give way, smile. Because why? I'm saving money. Yet, you know, I'm letting the other guy cut in front of me. It's okay. Cut in front of me. I don't want to accelerate. This is what my dream is for the future.
This segment was brought to you by Volvo. Inspiring technology. Shaping tomorrow's mobility.
So, that was all about how you can save fuel with your plug-in hybrid. Coming up next, it is the coveted car review. It is the Volvo XC60 versus the BMW X3 here on Cruise Control. BMW X3 arriving here in Malaysia.
Yes, actually arrived. It arrived a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Big launch, and their tagline is, we're on a mission.
Oh, a mission for what?
I don't know. But they're on a mission to make a difference for the segment. The segment is crowded. The segment is very popular.
Now, wait, is this the SUV or the SAV?
Good question. Mm. Now, this is called the SUV segment.
Right.
But BMW will call it the SAV. Why?
They want to be individuals.
They want to be individual. Ah. Now, what happened is in 2004, BMW introduced the first ever X3. I was lucky enough to be in Europe to test drive it. And when they introduced the car to us, they said, okay, we know the SUV segment. It's new, sports utility vehicle.
Yeah.
But ours is called a sports activity vehicle. So we all looked at them and said, yeah, right. You know? But honestly, Richard, when we took the car out, amazing.
Right.
Amazing. For its time in 2004, that vehicle handled like a sports sedan. It was a 3 Series, jacked up, all-wheel drive, and it handled beautifully on the road. And it did as well off-road, because we actually took it off-road. They did not shy away from the fact that this car can actually take on the rough.
Mm.
Now, the second generation came along, looked very nice and all that. Now comes the third generation. Now, my issue with this X3 is not that it's lacking in anything, but it just doesn't show me anything different from the previous gen.
Right.
So, if you see it on the road, and if I pointed it out to you, you'll say, oh, okay, isn't that the old one?
Right.
Because it looks too similar.
There's no difference really much in the body shape or anything like that.
If you park it side by side, with the older one. Yeah. Then you can tell all the little tweaks and difference. It's like Porsche. When they do a new 911, you really can't tell the difference.
No, but that's the beauty of the 911. That's why I love them.
Exactly. And I love them also because what? You can buy a 10-year-old one and still fool your friends and say, this is a brand new
right.
one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the beauty of the new X3 in terms of design. But if you currently own the current X3 and you buy a new one, your neighbors will not notice.
Right. What kind of price is it going for?
Okay. This is my issue. $320,000 for this new X3. Now, it's got a lot of bells and whistles. It's got a 2-liter, 4-cylinder, twin-power turbo engine. And like I said earlier, running on an 8-speed gearbox. My issue is, at this price, $320,000, it is more expensive than the current World Car of the Year. Now, this World Car of the Year recently awarded the number one vehicle in the world to the Volvo XC60 T8.
Did it now?
Yeah. And this vehicle has been here for a few months and it sells for 314,000 ringgit.
Considerably cheaper.
Well, a few thousand dollars cheaper. But here comes the thing. The Volvo comes with plug-in hybrid, which is all that tech included inside, which the BMW X3 does not have right now. They've got a plug-in hybrid coming later.
Right.
But now they've just given us a normal 2-liter petrol turbo. On top of that, the Volvo delivers a very impressive, you've seen these figures, 407 brake horsepower and 640 newton meters of torque.
Yeah.
And, you know, 0 to 100 is 5.3 seconds. I mean, all this means it's a sports car in an SUV body.
Right.
But you get into this Volvo and you look at the interior, the quality, the refinement, the features, the cabin technology, the connectivity, which the younger generation likes, that center console, which looks like a high-tech iPad. You know,
how does the control center differ from the BMW?
The BMW is still very traditional, buttons, knobs and everything else.
Lots of them I hear as well.
And also touchscreen. But you see, the thing is, there's nothing wrong with that. People of our age, Rich, we like all this because it's easy to work with.
Do they come in like big fonts as well?
Yes, you can enlarge the fonts like on your phone. But with the younger generation, and these are the people with the money right now to buy vehicles, they love the Volvo XC interior. So I will say this, BMW, you better do something about your interior, you better do something about your cabin connectivity, and you better do something about your design. You know, bring it up on par with people like Volvo and Mercedes who are attracting a younger generation to the brand.
All right. So as usual then, we normally do the 10-point inspection here.
Yep.
All right. And so 10-point inspection starting now. Who is the car for?
I would say housewives.
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 But you're telling me it's for the younger generation in one breath.
No, no, no. That's the Volvo.
Oh, that's the Volvo. Oh, we're talking about the X3.
The X3. Housewives.
All right.
With money, of course.
Okay.
Middle management executives who want to move up the ladder.
Okay. Number two, does it ride well on Malaysian roads? Is it comfortable?
It'll definitely be comfortable. BMW, no question here.
Is it fun to drive and does it handle well?
Okay. Fun to drive, I'm not too sure because the power is not that great. Handle well, BMW never fails.
All right. Is the engine any good and does the engine suit the car?
The engine is not a brand new engine. It's a carryover. So I think it should be okay.
All right. Is it economical?
Tough to say, but the previous one was so-so. When you talk about fuel economy, I think the Volvo will be better because it's plug-in hybrid.
For sure. Does it have many features? USB ports, leather seats, reverse cameras, all that kind of
all
stuff?
All that it has.
All that.
All that it has.
Is it well built?
Of course.
It's a BMW.
Of course,
it's
a BMW.
Value for money?
It's lower wife, it's a BMW.
Value for money?
Value for money, I got to say no.
No.
Because of the Volvo pricing?
Yeah.
I will say no. And one more thing. I think end of the day, I believe to tell people like this, on the same day, go and test drive both vehicles or three vehicles. That means if you're taking a Saturday off, in the morning, go and test drive a BMW. Immediately go to the Volvo showroom, test drive the Volvo.
Right.
And if you have the time, go and test drive another vehicle. Could be Japanese, could be Lexus, could be Infiniti, could be Mercedes. All in the same day. So by the time you have a pit break for lunch or whatever, you can immediately start forming an idea of which suits your need and which vehicle captured your heart.
So you've pretty much answered point number 10, which would be, would you recommend this car then?
The Volvo.
You'd recommend the Volvo?
Definitely.
Right, so a snapper of a show for you this week. We had the news with Ruse. We had 9 motorcycling habits here in Malaysia. We then had AT&T with how you can save fuel on your very own plug-in hybrid. And we had Red Corner and Blue Corner car review of the Volvo XC60 versus the BMW X3. You have been listening to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9. Stay tuned. More stuff for you next week. Vroom.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the Business Station.